Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. As we can continue our study through the Ten Commandments. Excuse me. Is your name important to you? How do you spell my first name? Okay. You know, I've had it spelled so many different ways. In fact, this week when I went to the hospital, they kept on asking me, how do you say your name? I mean, you know, if it had a D on it, they didn't have any problem. But somehow, when you take the D off of Lloyd, they don't know how to say it, you know. And over the years, I've been called Hoy and Floyd and, you know, I mean, just all sorts of, and Loloy and, you know, all these, you know, they don't know, it's just plain old Loy. It's just like Ariel. You know, when we named her, the Little Mermaid was popular. And we weren't naming her after the Little Mermaid. Her name is not Ariel. It's Ariel, you know. And you say R-E-L. You know, maybe you have some similar stories like that. But names are important, are they not? Your name is important. Let me read you a quotation. A name is more than a means of identifying someone. It conveys information about our family, social and economic status, race, and sometimes religion, too. The mere mention of some names would elicit an immediate emotional response from you. What images come to mind when I say Saddam Hussein? Or David Letterman? Or have you ever known anyone who named their baby boy Judas? Or the little baby girl Jezebel? How does God feel about his name? One writer says this, I'm going to do something cruel this morning. I'm getting kind of thirsty and I forgot to bring my glass up here and I was going to do this. My glass of water. That's okay. I'm only just saying that. You don't have to do it. I was going to bring a glass of water with me, and I forgot. Okay, it says this writer says, I'm getting kind of thirsty up here with all that kind of, while I'm doing so. I snuck up a little drink underneath here before I started this morning, and I'm going to pull it out and drink it in front of you. Now, don't you just hate me when preachers do that? It's not water either. I have with me a Schweppes ginger ale, okay, and take a drink of that too. I don't know, do you like Schweppes ginger ale? I love it, okay. I like ginger ale. As I looked at this bottle, and in fact, I was going to bring that brown bottle stuff we had. What's that called? Yeah, the brown ginger. That's what I was going to, I forgot all about it. I knew it was sitting in the refrigerator for a purpose. I forgot. Now, and then you look at the bottle, and you look at the name on the bottle, on any type of bottle or any type of product, and there is a little R. What does that little R stand for? It's a trademark, right? Okay. You know, that means that if I wanted to make my own line of ginger ale and I put Schweppes on it, what would happen? They would sue me because it's protected. Because they consider their name to be very important. And God considers his name to be very important. For example, Leviticus 19:12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 22:32. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Acts 4:12, speaking of the name of Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Today, there's I don't know if you're on the socials, you know, maybe you're not, but there's this big thing about acronyms. You know that? For example, what does the acronym BTW mean? By the way, right? By the way. Do you know what AFK means? Away from keyboard. Okay. Here's another one. FYEO. FYEO. For your eyes only. Okay. Oh, that's good. Okay. Okay. Here's another one. DIY. Do it yourself. Okay. EOBD. EOBD. End of business day. Right. Okay. Okay. FWIW. FWIW. For what it's worth. Okay. HTH. Hope this helps. IMOH. In my honest opinion, or in my humble opinion, is usually what it means. In my humble opinion. And so if you have INSHO, okay, that means in my not so humbly or honest opinion, okay. Okay. How about LOL? Lots of laugh. Okay. NOOB. Newbie. 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 Someone who's new at something. Okay. Let's see. What else I have here? Here goes. ROTFL. ROTFL. Rolling on the floor laughing. TTYL. Talk to you later. Okay. WFM. Works for me. Okay. And let's see what. Oh, yes. PEBKAC. PEBKAC. It means problem exists between keyboard and chair. That's for those technical guys that are supporting somebody. And the last one I have is, it should be familiar with most of us, not all, OMG. Oh my God. It's used a lot. Now, the writer was commentating on that phrase. He says, this last phrase seems to be on the lips of many who receive startling news. But as Christians, we need to stop before we utter this or any other phrase that flippantly uses God's name. Another writer says, the first commandment then guards the unity of God. The second, his spirituality. And the third, his deity or essence. In the first, we are forbidden to make God one of many when he is the only one. In the second commandment, to liken him to a corruptible image when he is the incorruptible spirit. And the third is to identify him in any way with the creature when he is the creator. And our text today is in Exodus chapter 20, and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, that's the negative way of expressing that commandment. Let me flip it around and state it more positively in this way. Thou shalt always reverence and honor the name of the Lord thy God. That's the emphasis of this commandment. To reverence and honor God and his character. And so that's what we want to emphasize today as we look at some of the parts of this verse, is to have reverence for the name of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us. And you have many names that describe you. We just looked at one verse that said, there's none other name given among heaven whereby men must be saved. And that's your son's name, Jesus. Names are so important, and your name is important to you and how we treat you in your name. And Lord, I pray that you help us as we go about this world, that by the way, by what we say, how we say it, and how we live, we may honor your name and reverence it. In your son's name, amen. So let's look at a few things here. First of all, there is a command. Notice it says, thou shalt not take, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That word translated take means to lift up, to lift up. So it means to lift up anything, like you can lift up your voice in prayer, or when they made prophecies or oracles, sometimes they took up, it talked about someone taking up this oracle or this parable, or sometimes it talks about taking up reproaches against other people. Now, it talks about lifting up the name of God. Now, when we talk about names in the Old Testament in particular, names in the Old Testament included the existence, character, and reputation of the person being talked about by name. And so when we talk about the name of God, we're talking about the self-disclosure of God in his holiness and truth. What does that mean? That's talking about who God is and what he has done. That's what his name implies and includes with it. And so it talks about his nature, his being, his person. It talks about his teaching or doctrine. His name talks about his moral and ethical being and teaching. And so our concern should be that the character of God should be honored and protected by what we say and what we do. That's the emphasis of this verse, this commandment. Thou shalt not take up the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That Hebrew word translated vain means emptiness, vanity, falsehood. Anything that is unsubstantial, unreal, worthless. So it's talking about a misuse of the God, of the name of God. And when his name is misused, it brings disrepute upon his character and his deeds. So we're talking about, you know, actually using it in a curse, or to use it in a frivolous way, or to use his name in an insincere purpose. You know, like you go to court and they put your hand on the Bible and you swear, you know, by the Holy One that you will not lie, but you know the person up there is lying. You know, that's using an unholy, insincere purpose for God's name. And so what I just mentioned is we could do things like speaking his name when taking an oath with no intention to keep it. Or we can use his name for selfish or evil purposes. Okay, so when we usurp his authority. Or we fail to perform an oath in which his name had been legitimately uttered. Those different things like that. And so, when he says, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, what God is saying is this, is not using his holy name for purposes other than addressing him or honoring him. And so when I use the phrase OMG, normally I am not honoring him. Normally, okay? And even if I'm surprised and it just slips out, it's still wrong. What's the penalty? God says, I will not hold him guiltless. That means unpunished. I will not consider him innocent. I will not pardon or cleanse. God is so concerned about the proper use of his name that there's a promise of punishment if it is misused. This is found in Leviticus 24:16. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as well as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. Isn't that serious? God protects his name. So what are some of the applications? Well, first of all, using God's name in profanity is forbidden. One writer says, the evidence points to the fact that taking the Lord's name, that is his reputation, in vain, will surely cover profanity, that it, as that term is understood today, or swearing falsely in the Lord's name. So abrasive speech or profanity in general is also included in this command. Okay, another writer, just so we understand. In a technical sense, profanity is not a violation of the third commandment. In fact, according to the letter of the law, unless you pronounce the covenant name of God, and we don't know how it's pronounced anymore, you can't violate the specific point of the law. Don't use this as a cop-out. The letter of the law might not get you, but the spirit of the law will. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you carry around the name Christian, which means little Christ. Your words reflect the character of your Lord. That's why there's a specific prohibition about profanity in the Bible. In Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. And so, included in profanity are things like, oh God, and the people when they say it that way, or when you hear them say Jesus Christ, and you know, in an expression, or oh Lord, okay, and those whose hearts have been washed in the blood ought to have a clean mouth. One writer says, a man who was wonderfully converted several years ago in Texas once told me, when I was converted, I lost over a half of my vocabulary. Okay. That's it, okay? God cleans up your house. I'm glad you're back, Victor. See, he's the only one that laughs at me. Okay, it's good. At my jokes. Okay, good. But anyway, our words are very important. Very important. And I've lost my train of thought now. Okay. But in our vocabulary. And we ought to be honoring God with our words. And we don't have to, and so profanity is not part of it. And should not be part of our language. You know, and what saddens me is this. I read more and more, and I hear more and more of believers using profanity. I mean, they just, it's just part of life. They've never given up, they've taken it up again. And it's just part, it's, you know, and then you'll hear it from the pulpit sometimes too, and it's just, it's really sad. And so using God's name in profanity is forbidden. Using God's name in slang is forbidden. Another writer. Slang is defined as a peculiar language, also an informal, non-standard vocabulary with changed words. Slang may change the word, the way it sounds, the way it is spelled, but it does not change the meaning. Slang represents the real word. Did you know that many Christians use slang as a language? Unfortunately, not for good. And so these slang words put a slur on the character of God. They're almost like nicknames for God. And so you and I ought to shun these minced oaths such as gee or gosh or golly. They're just slangs for the name God. How many times have you heard someone say, oh my God, this is taking the Lord's name in vain? You're not talking to someone about God when you say this, or you're not addressing God in your speech. You're using this phrase out of astonishment or amazement because of something that has happened in your life or someone else's. You know, it's like, I'm going out here and working on the shed, you know, and I'm hammering something, and I hit my thumb with my hammer. You know, I'm going to say, oh, my Loy B, right? Okay. You know, you don't see, or, oh, Cynthia, or, you know, somebody, you know, that type of thing, right? No, we don't, you know, it's silly, right? And it's stupid. So why do we use God's name that way? Using God's name in a rote way is forbidden. And have you ever heard anybody praying and every third word is the word Lord? See, within that prayer, There is no meaning to his, to the word Lord. It's vain. One writer says, but it will also include using the Lord's name lightly, unkindly, or by rote. Perhaps this is captured by the Septuagint translation of this particular Hebrew word. It means thoughtlessly. Thoughtlessly. And so when we're praying and we just say God or Lord or Father, you know, thoughtlessly, it's like we're filling in the mental gaps there, you know, as we're praying. And that's not what God wants. And in fact, you don't want to, you know, when someone's talking to you, you don't want them saying your name every third word, do you? Right? So when you're talking to God, or I'm talking, why would I want to do that? I'm doing it thoughtlessly. And it dishonors him. Using God's name and vacant vows is forbidden. Now, this is really what the letter of the law was about. God assumed that his people would invoke his name when taking oaths. Yes, in legitimate oaths. God's point is that when his name is taken up in an oath, the one who makes it had better follow through with it. You know, it's just like someone has taken a vow and they say, so help me God, right? Taking a vow. And they don't carry through with the vow. They've taken God's name in vain. Now, another one, the last one I have here is an application. Deals with the inconsistency between words and deeds is taking God's name in vain. When I say that I am a Christian and I live like the devil, I've taken God's name in vain. I have. And so the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord God in vain, goes beyond the mere words. Because the way that you and I live can smear the character of God. We identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ because we say we're Christians. But we live in such a way that dishonors him and is disobedient to him. So we are breaking this third commandment when we live a way that is not consistent with our profession. Notice this, what it says in the commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. See those two words? Thy God. You know what that means? You who belong to God. And as I mentioned earlier, Christians. That was a name given to the believers in Antioch way back in the first century. They were so concerned about living like Christ, glorifying Christ, and honoring Christ that they were called Christians or little Christs. At first, it was almost a name of derision, but it became a name of honor. So what do I derive from this? Psalm 86:11 says this. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart. Does anybody know what the end of the verse says? Unite my heart to fear thy name. The psalmist is saying, show me how to reverence your name, O Lord. Let there be a consistency between my profession and the way that I live, that I may reverence your name. And that's what we must do. We must reverence the name, the character of God. One seminary professor told his students of a time when he was studying Hebrew under an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. On this particular day, the students were reading the Hebrew text out loud. One of the rules of the class was that when you came to the name of God, you were not to pronounce what was in the text. Instead, students were to say Adonai, which is the Hebrew equivalent of Lord or Jehovah. In the class with the Jewish rabbi, one of the students inadvertently pronounced the name of God. Upon hearing it, the rabbi groaned loudly, put his hands over his ears, and fled from the classroom. No one saw him for several days. When he finally surfaced again, they found that he had considered himself so unworthy of hearing the name of God that he spent several days in prayer asking for forgiveness. And when was the last time when you said, Lord, that you said it with its full significance to him? Now, that Jewish rabbi, he was being over legalistic, of course. But I think we've forgotten how important God's name really is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you met Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they didn't tell you about some general person out there. They told you about a specific person, and they gave you his name, did they not? Jesus. Jesus. Very important. Giving God his proper respect starts with his name, because his name represents who he is and what he has done. So he wants you and me to delight in his name, not use it lightly, not abuse it with our words or how we live. In Psalm 69:36, we have these words from the psalmist. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Jeremiah 10:6. Forasmuch as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might and power. Honoring God's name. Why should you and I respect God's name? Well, his name deserves respect because of his position. Who is the only God, the true God, the powerful God, the God of the Bible, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh? Just because of who he is the creator. He is the one who deserves honor because of who he is. And we should reverence his name. His name deserves respect and because of what he has done. Joel 2:26. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. He says, praise the name of the Lord because of what he has done for you. And so we should reverence God's name for what he has done. He is the creator. He is the one who put together this wonderful plan of salvation in Jesus Christ for you and me. And he made sure it happened. And someday he's coming back to set up the kingdom. And eternity is going to be here. For what he has done and what he will do, his name deserves respect. His name deserves respect because he is holy. His name is holy. Psalm 99:3. Let them praise thy great and terrible. Now, the word terrible means awesome. Let them praise thy great and awesome name, for it is holy. And if we didn't get it the first time, they said it again. Let them praise thy great and awesome name, for it is holy. The Hebrew word holy means separate. It is totally otherness. Totally separate. And so his name is separate from all common or ordinary names and words. It's expressed in the New Testament this way by Jesus in the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means holy be thy name. Separate be thy name. See, there is a recognition of who God is. He is totally other. So how do I keep this commandment? Four quick suggestions and we're done this morning. I will guard my language all the time. I will be conscious of what I say. I will not say what I say mindlessly. Isn't it easy to do? Isn't it easy just to react to different situations with words and not think before we speak? I will guard my language at all times. A second thought is this. I will develop a respect and love for God, for who he is and what he has done. I will develop a respect and love for God for who he is and what he has done. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful one who keeps this universe together, the Almighty God. A third suggestion is this. I will be aware of the words I use when I pray. In other words, I will pray with meaning. And when I talk to God, I will talk to him with meaning and not use empty words or phrases. And the fourth way to keep this commandment is this. I will live so that my life is a reflection of God. So when I walk through this world, people will notice something different about me. When I react to situations at work or in relations to people, I will be different. And it will honor my God. And that will uplift the name of God. And I will not break this commandment in that when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I will not treat his name, his character, as useless. So positively, what is it? The commandment? Reverence God in all that I say and do. And he will be pleased. Please stand with me. Hymn number 230 as we close this morning. Appropriate hymn to sing in light of what we just had in the scriptures. Glory to his name.